me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me.
What's motherfucking popping? What's going on? What's happening? It's Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're chilling out here in Homeless Central in downtown Los Angeles. I just hit my ladies and gentlemen, my Don Pardo. What the fuck is that? It's like a Don Pardo or like a Tonight Show intro? It's like a Tonight Show intro.
With like a sprinkle of strip club voice.
Yeah. We have my man, Rich Corbin. Big up, Rich Corbin. He's Boston Corbin. That's one of my old co-hosts. He recorded that, but it said Skid Row Studios, and that was the old studio. We're at We Play Radio.
.com.
So let me welcome all of you to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. And I just want to, right off the top, just tell you that we're at a new wonderful studio, weplayradio.com. So we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We're going to get some stickers so we can be on your mother's asses, on your mother's ass cheeks. So wherever you want those stickers, you can put them. But most importantly, make sure that you go to the weplayradio.com site and check out the other shows. There's subscribe links on each show. If you like the show, subscribe. If you don't like the shows, fuck it. But make sure you subscribe to my shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that goes out to all the Mick Betancourt fans, because you got a lot of fucking fans. Big up! Big up, Mick Betancourt! Big up, your bomba clad! Big the fuck up, yeah! So with that, you know, I fucked up. I was gonna do one of your
another high.
I was gonna do a high.
I knew. I'm sitting there waiting. I go, I think he's gonna fucking try it two times in a row.
But dude, I had the right hype. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were luring me in a little bit.
No. But I had to do the welcome to the. Anyway, yeah. That's my man Mick Betancourt. What's up,
dude? It's good to be back.
Welcome.
Man. Yeah, thank you, man.
Welcome. That's
always
my boy.
A treat to be here.
Yeah. It's always a treat to be near
in the
you.
New spot.
Yeah, the new spot. This is the new shit. No, it's always a treat to be near you, man. You're aces, man. You know, for those of you that don't know, Mick is a writer on various TV shows. He's an actor. He's a stand-up comedian. He's Puerto Rican and Irish.
Yeah.
You know, half Puerto Rican, half Irish. I'm Puerto Rican, so that's kind of our initial connection. Because in Los Angeles, you don't have too many Puerto Ricans, and the ones that are here are fucking douchebags.
They look like this?
Yeah. No, they're assholes, man. The assholes. The Puerto Ricans are...
I met a kid last night out in Pasadena, red hair. He looked, you know what he looked like? Canelo Alvarez. He had...
Okay, you got to give me a footnote.
The boxer.
Oh, okay.
I think Alvarez, Canelo, the guy that just fought Cotto.
Hold on. I'm not into boxing, bro. Boxing went to shit after Tyson
fucking... But this kid looked mostly Irish... And we're talking, he goes, I never thought I would meet another guy that looked as Irish as you, that's Irish and Puerto Rican. This kid had flaming red hair, freckles, whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my boys, Victor Cruz, he's on Facebook, motherfuckers, red hair, red beard, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And he's 100% Puerto Rican.
Oh, no shit.
It happens like that. Some Puerto Ricans eat a lot of carrots, and then eventually...
it gets in the genome.
Well, if the father eats a lot of carrots before he fucks without a condom, chances are the offspring, if she gets pregnant, is going to come out a redhead.
See,
that's how it works.
I didn't know we were going to be talking about verified, quantified...
Well,
science.
Well, we're talking
right off the bat.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about stupefied, bona fide, petrified. You know, all types of shit, particles and anatomical. You know what I mean?
Quantum physics, theory.
You know, gel hair,
string cheese.
You know, spraying motherfucking
mozzarella sticks,
holding particles so the hair don't move while you're bouncing up and down.
Slick it back.
You know what I'm saying? The whole shit. So what's up, man? How you been? The last time you were on the show, I was looking at when it was. I think you were on the show in February of last year. Time flies.
Shit, it's almost been a year.
Yeah, time flies. But you were on the show, and that was just a small intro of who Mick is. Mick is bigger than that. Mick is a dad. Mick is a husband. Mick is an all-around great guy. He does a lot of service. you know, as he's a great humanitarian. He's that's my boy. I look up to him. Because very selfless guy, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you just focus on doing your things, whatever they are, mm-hmm. and things just happen, right? So it's like I just do the next right thing and let sure. go of the results,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
You just do the next indicated action, right?
Yeah.
And in your life, whatever that is, and you're a perfect example of that. Last time we were doing the show, last time we were doing Nestorius Public Radio, when we left, we went to my favorite burger joint. Well, my old favorite burger joint, D-Town Burgers. And you were looking on your social media and you're the McBet. Oh, and you're a pod producer and host of your own podcast, the yeah. McBetancourt Show.
Every Monday.
Yeah, every Monday it goes on live now?
No, not live. It's just the new episode drops every Monday.
Oh, every Monday drops. And you can check that out at the McBetancourt Show. .com?
No, McBetancourt.com, or you can just put in the McBetancourt Show on iTunes. It'll come up.
Or you can go to IHaveABigCock.com and it'll .net, right? Because you couldn't get .com.
.com was already taken.
See, my thing is I would have just got .jizz instead of .biz.
That's a little extra.
And well, McBetancourt is a podcaster, and the reason I'm saying that is because when we finished my show last time in February, the McBetancourt Show had made it to iTunes top 250th podcast.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy.
That was really cool, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, that's not really cool.
It's crazy because it wasn't a marquee guest.
And it wasn't a what?
It wasn't like a marquee guest that you would think would get huge ratings. You know, like when you have somebody super famous on or somebody that's like in the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah. You mean your podcast in general?
Well, my podcast in general, I've had really, I guess what you consider famous people, athletes,
Academy doesn't fucking
Awards.
Matter. People yeah. don't know who, I mean.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I always I always wanted the podcast to be really good, something that I could be proud of. Because
yeah.
ultimately, like this show, it's completely whatever you want to make it.
Yeah.
No one's giving you notes. No one's. It's your thing.
No.
So I really wanted to make it something that I would want to listen to.
Right.
And yeah. interview people and ask them the questions that I would want to ask them if we were just kicking it, you know, over dinner or coffee at like a diner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that people responded to that really was fucking great, man. You know?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Your text, right.
No,
right,
what it is that I'm supposed to.
Unbelievable.
Hold on a second.
Unbelievable. Hold the on. Professionalism on this
no,
guy.
No, this is, yo, we do. Dude, I drive stick. Okay.
With that? You have a stick shift in LA?
Dude, I have a stick shift. Okay. And one time I picked up a dozen roses and I was texting. So if a cop ever stops me and says you're texting, I'm like, no, I wasn't.
Who was it?
No, this is a homeboy that I was telling you about. That he's a Robert Beanie. He's a pop-up chef. He created pop-up dinners down here in downtown LA.
Are we going to the spot after this to get some food?
We're going to get a bite after this.
But not that he's making.
No, not that he's making. Hold on a second. Let me just get the fucking the thing about your show is this. I know it's retarded, right? The thing about your show is this, right? What's interesting about your show is that you go in there and you start talking about like what we're talking about right now, and then all of a sudden organically it becomes this, like, I don't know what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, or a journey,
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that. And people who are on your podcast, this fucking guy's texting me. Hold on a second.
This is why, by the way, cut to my camera. Can you cut to my camera? Are we on mine? All right, internet. You see how he's doing his shit? Look at my phone right here. Bam, old school right here. Flip phone, yeah. Some wire shit. What's up, Baltimore?
You know
this
what?
This is my shit here. I could, what are we on the 19th floor? I could throw this out the fucking window.
And it wouldn't matter.
I'd walk down there, I'd pick it up, I'd finish the call.
And it wouldn't matter. You know what I love?
I gotta hit each button 50 times to text.
You know what I love about you, man? Is that you're like on. You're like on and on and on and on. Like the hot butter, the pop, jibby, bibby, pop. You don't dare stop. You know what I'm saying?
Almost,
like you're right there. Like I could do a stick up with you.
To the break of dawn.
Yo, I could, yo, seriously, I could do a stick up with you. I know. I you
Who's
know
driving?
Don't it don't matter. We'll figure
You're
it out.
You're not driving because you'd be texting.
Didn't I just tell you I have a stick shift, right? And I drive stick, I text, and I could deliver roses at the same time.
I would jump in the car. I would have the dough, the jewelry, whatever we had negotiated on.
Yeah.
Half the safe.
We wouldn't negotiate on nothing. And, this is what I'm trying to say.
And you'd be like, hold on, man. I got to finish this text.
No,
I'd
no.
be like, Ness, we got to get out of here because the alarm's on. And the hold on. I'm just texting this guy. He's a pop-up chef. Nestor, we need to get the fuck out of here.
Hold on, Mick.
It just says the cops are behind
us. Mick, 1 second. It's just a pop-up chef. Yeah, hold on. You got to text this shit. Hold on.
Hold my roses while I text my pop-up chef.
What I'm saying is this. You're the type of dude that you're all in. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're the type of dude that, like, I don't have to say, I wouldn't have to say, yo, Mick, do this. You'd be right there doing whatever the fuck had to be done.
There's no fucking around.
You.
Life's too short.
But this is what I'm saying. Who's driving? Who the fuck cares?
Yeah,
we get in the car. Where are we doing? Stick up. You go in. You know what the fuck's going on. Hold on a second. I got to text my boy. You take over the fucking steering wheel while I'm texting. You know,
Officer, seriously, we're going to a pop-up chef event.
Officer, seriously, we just borrowed the money. We're going to bring it back. We're going to a pop-up dinner in downtown L.A.
We are from a company that just sells safe doors. So you'll notice that where we just left, there was no door on the safe.
Right.
We are going to come back.
Right. And we were just taking measurements.
We were just taking measurements. We need to bring the door with us.
We were just taking measurements to the double steel door. Somebody opened it, and that's how it is. Which, by the way, you know, that's one of the reasons why when I was fucking rocking and rolling, I ran solo. Because, you know, when you're thinking 5, you know, miles ahead.
Yeah.
No one is going to be able to catch up to, like, fill in the gaps.
Everybody's
right?
a canary, man. Everyone.
Well, I'm not even talking about ratting. I'm talking about, you know, no one is going to go in there. No one's going to have your back. And I don't mean they may not have the intention. What I'm saying is this. Let me give you an example. Yeah. Just like what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know Central Park in New York City, right?
Yeah.
You know that there's a rowboat lake in there, right? There's a cafe in the middle of the fucking lake. So many times we would go there. Well, many times we'll go there after I started this, right? I rented a rowboat, okay? And I docked the rowboat somewhere. I didn't return the rowboat, and I took the fucking oars, okay? I took the oars with me.
Are we in statute of limitations time?
No, we're good.
Story?
I don't give a fuck. I'm telling you what happened. Because you rent the boat by the hour, and what you're renting was the oars, really, because at night, and this is the reason, at night you can go in there, jump the fence, but there's no oars, but the boats are there. They locked up the oars.
Oh, I got you.
So I put two and two together. I said, all right, cool. They lock up the oars. I'm going to just fucking rent the boat for an hour, leave the fucking boat near the Bethesda fountain, you know, the big fountain that's there, because the lake is kind of big, and I take the oars. I took the fucking oars, and, you know, I hit them somewhere in the park where I knew I can come back at night, get the oars, and go on the boat. You know, get high, drink, and just be in the middle of a fucking lake in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, New York City in the 80s was unfucking believable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could never get away with no shit like this now. Anyway, I'm not sure if it happened the first night, because I told a couple of friends of mine about it, and of course,
the whole lake's fucking full of people.
Yes, exactly. No, now these fucking retards are trying to break into the fucking restaurant there. They're kicking the fucking thing, and it's just like, this is what I'm saying. A, you can't tell everybody when something's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell people certain secrets, like in LA, like no standing signs. You can park after 6, because then next thing you know, everybody knows how to do it, right? So
even what you think, you can't talk shit. We were just talking about this before we started rolling.
Yeah,
you can't talk shit because people can't hear it. They gotta pay it forward, so it's gonna snowball and come after you. I haven't talked shit in years, and I talk shit one gig. And I got my hand caught in a fucking cookie jar.
Yeah.
And I wish I wouldn't if I owned it. You know what I mean? And it just, and it wasn't, it's not up to me to decide whether it's bad or not. It's up to me to keep my fucking mouth shut.
But I
one little moment lapse of judgment, I let my guard down.
It happens.
But it's so funny. You constantly have to be on point. You can't fuck around.
It happens.
You have to be on point. It happens. But it doesn't have to.
It happens.
So you got to learn when it does.
No, Yeah, but it happens, dude. It's like, you know, you it's called being knocked off center.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you're doing the right thing. You know the fucking deal in life. The thing is to shut the fuck up, watch, and don't talk too much. Don't talk about anybody else. Don't tell somebody that this guy's an asshole because you don't know that this guy's his boy.
Don't say just shit. Don't say it.
Just leave it. It doesn't fucking matter. Anyway, so that day, or that night, I should say, we all run out. I have my oars because I want my fucking oars. I want to come back the next night, right? Or whenever I feel like it, when a bunch of cops, because the alarm went off, come. And I get caught.
Are the cops fucking rowing out there?
No. Everybody got the fuck out of the lake and they dispersed. They all, but I took my oars, you know, like I'm taking my fucking oars.
Yeah.
Right? And so these two cops, they catch me, or they caught me with two oars. They said, excuse me. Let me see some ID, whatever the fuck. I didn't even have ID because back then you don't carry ID, right? What are those? Those oars, what are they for? I'm a Boy Scout and we just came from... I swear to God, Mick, I swear to God. This is the bullshit. But like that, like that. Like in fucking 0.3 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Okay? Motherfuckers I hung out with, they could not think, and shit would not come to them that fast. You know, all it takes is a beat.
We had a special meeting, officer. It's for 2 to 3 in the morning. It's a nocturnal troop.
No, I just came back from I'm a Boy Scout. I just came back from rowboat practice.
Rowboat practice.
That's what I said.
Not my rowboat badge.
Yo, would you know that these stupid motherfuckers, they said, okay, all right, have a good night. And they let me fucking go with the oars, even though the fucking oars are stamped fucking New York Parks Department. Okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. And it's just like, you do some shit, which by the way, you're talking about getting your hands stuck in the cookie jar. You're from Chicago. That's another thing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite fucking,
that's so good.
I mean, there's a couple of towns in the United States that I love. And Chicago is one of those towns. Chicago has one of the best museums of the city, the history of the city. The Chicago History Museum. It's my fucking favorite museum. One of the things I do when I go to different towns is I like to check out museums. And ironically enough, I've been to Cuba twice and I haven't been to any of the big museums there because I've been doing other shit when I go there. But in general, I love to go to museums. And the Chicago History Museum breaks the shit down, the history of the fur trade to, you know, meat, like the refrigerated cattle cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it wasn't for Chicago, the West would not have evolved as fast as it did. It would not, you know, the Transcontinental Railroad coming from the East to the West, you know, once you start trudging across the plains, you know, how do you transport food, right? Okay, so you got food, you got cattle, but then you got to get refrigerated cars, and then you got to have a certain place where all the cattle is, and that's Chicago.
Yeah.
And Chicago had all that shit. Chicago...
Back of the yards, founders, butchers of the world, yeah.
Dude, founders of Oscar Mayer Wiener, founders of the first, forget internet shopping for you all young dumb fucks, the first internet catalog. There were catalogs,
yeah,
Sears Roebuck catalog.
Yeah.
That started in Chicago.
Montgomery Ward,
mail order. There was no internet. There was
J.C. Whitney.
That's it. Crate and Barrel. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So, but there was so much shit that I learned there that I didn't even know.
And a real, like, even though all of that great shit is there, there's a real humanity and humility to the town. That's just like, don't talk shit, don't do shit, don't know shit, be cool, don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't think it has as much fuck you as like New York has. And I love New York City, but it's not.
I don't know that New York has much. Has
I don't think it's a lot of fuck you anymore.
And there's no fuck you anymore. Yeah. That's part of the problem.
It's too glossy. It's too.
Chicago.
New York is too expensive now. It's too. Yeah.
New York, when you talk about New York, we're talking about New York City, Manhattan. Manhattan is one of these places that it's ridiculous. It's a fucking billionaire. I go out and I don't drink, right? I go out with $100 in my pocket. I think I might buy a pack of gum, maybe get on the fucking subway, maybe get a pack of Reese's peanut butter cups. Next thing you know, I got $20 in my pocket.
It's super,
like, where the fuck did my money go?
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So expensive.
It's expensive. And it's just like, I mean,
I don't know how you can, like in Chicago, you can go, you can find work and you don't need a college degree.
Right.
You can still,
is that right?
You could still be blue collar. You can still, from that job, have a 2-3 bedroom apartment.
Because there are certain neighborhoods in Chicago that are still affordable.
They're safe. They got good schools.
Right, right.
I mean, look, there's some problems in Chicago for sure. It's a big city and it can be rough.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's like New York. You got to know where shit's rough.
Sure.
And you can't pretend that shit isn't happening.
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. Fucking came out of Chicago, okay?
Yeah, man. Was like the northwest. I think he was in Chicago or right on the northwestern edge in like a suburb that butts right up against it.
He was
right by the airport.
Yeah.
You know, little That's row a crazy houses. Story. Like,
yeah.
You know, miss a little suburban.
Yeah. Scroll through Nestorius Public Radio on iTunes. I did a fucking show where I talked about John Wayne Gacy, the facts, everything about
it. I know we're streaming this now, but is this going to drop? Does this drop tonight or is it going to drop?
It'll drop when my fucking lazy ass puts the fucking summary submission, which the owner of the radio station here, We Play Radio, Jeremy Hansen, has designed it so fucking easy that I have a link that I can go to the link and I can, from a drop down menu, put the date of my show, i.e. December 17th,
yeah.
Drop down Nestorius Public Radio, just put a fucking episode number and a description, some fucking hashtags or whatever the fuck, and submit it and my show is up, right?
There you go.
And my fucking retarded ass will be like a month later, oh shit, I still haven't, you know what I mean? But no, Chicago I love.
Well, I'm playing Chicago, so I want to promote the date. So if you're watching this now, Wednesday, the 23rd, which is next week. I'm at Timothy O'Toole's downtown.
We'll definitely make sure that it gets dropped.
I just figured we're talking about now.
And what I'll do is I'll make sure that this gets up. Are we submitting the shows right into iTunes, or they're just being held in on the We Play Radio site now, Jeremy?
Yeah, so we are up on iTunes.
Okay.
And, nice. Things are being converted from the old studio to us. So,
okay.
Yeah, it'll all end up on iTunes.
But nice. but at the very least, you can go to the weplayradio.com site and listen to the show there, right?
Correct.
Awesome.
Cool. So this information will be up before next Wednesday.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Maybe Wednesday, I'm at Timothy O'Toole's. And then Saturday, the day after Christmas, December 26th, I'm at the WIP Theater in Edison Park.
Wow.
Yeah, man. February 6th, I'm with Ryan Sickler from the Crab Feast podcast at the Highline in Seattle. So
those
are the dates I got on the
books.
So
what is the theater? Are you headlining the theater?
I'm co-headlining with Joe Kilgallen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I'm doing Comedians You Should Know at Timothy O'Toole's, which is where I recorded my last album.
Right.
It was 2 years ago now. It's downtown Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Great live music comedy venue.
Right.
Wednesday with a group called Comedians You Should Know. That show's been selling out in Chicago for 5 years now.
Right.
Group of young comics hustled, put together a great show.
Right.
Great venue. I think it seats like 110, and that shit's going to sell out. If the 8 sells out, we're going to do a 10.
Get there early.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show pre-recorded, make sure you go check out Mick Betancourt.
Thank you.
At
guys.
One of those shows. And those dates are also going to be on your site, right? On
I'll put those up tonight.
MickBetancourt.com.
Yep.
All right. Got to definitely do it. Mick is a very funny dude. He also does a monthly comedy show to support fucking degenerates, drug addicts, and alcoholics that can't do shit for themselves.
Yes.
So he does a monthly show where
I fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, he gets these comedians to show up and make these fucking miserable, got nothing to live for motherfuckers laugh. And so, you know, I got to give it to him for that shit because he does
that
shit.
That's my favorite show to do of all time.
I know.
My favorite show.
I know,
the next one's, I didn't even hype that one, January 23rd.
You do it, January 23rd.
Radford Hall by Woodman and Victory in North Hollywood, California. Van Nuys.
Van Nuys, right, Radford Hall, yeah. I may swing by and do like 10
swing
minutes.
By.
Yeah, maybe do 10 minutes. I haven't performed 40. In a long time.
50 or 60, hours.
I haven't performed in a long fucking time.
Opus.
Anyway, so I want to tell you something, getting your hand caught in the cookie jar. When I was in Chicago, well, first of all, let me go back. I went to Chicago the first time, I think it was 2003 at the Cinematheque, when the Marshall Fields was still there. Now it's Macy's.
Yeah.
I was a fucking, in fact, it was around this time of the year. They had the most humongous Christmas tree I had ever seen in my life.
Oh, in the middle of the
store. In the middle of the store.
Yeah.
Marshall Fields is a department store. Again, one of the oldest.
I'm going, you could do lunch or dinner under the tree. Well, so the tables are right around the bottom of the tree.
But I think Macy's owns...
It's at Macy's now.
Okay, yeah. But people...
Beautiful.
A lot of people are pissed off about the fact that Marshall Fields closed. Now, Marshall Fields was a
clock.
Synonymous. The water
tower.
You
would say, I'll meet you by the clock. Right. And you knew where the clock was. Just right. Like you say, I'll meet you by the clock.
Because when I went there last time, I'm like, wait a minute. Where the fuck is Marshall Fields? Yes. Anyway, the other thing about Chicago that's awesome is that it's an art town. I mean, there's so much shit going on there. I mean, I saw this David Bowie exhibit that was unbelievable, man.
Wow.
It was mind-blowing. I don't know where the hell the show went after there, but if you can catch the show, it's a David Bowie exhibit. You should definitely check it out. I don't know where it is. Google it. Maybe it might be in a town near you. Maybe in fucking Stockholm or some shit. Who knows? But the other thing I realized is that your mayor... there years ago, I don't know how many years ago, he got vultures. He procured a lot of vultures into the city so that they could eat the pigeons. And that's why you go to fucking Chicago, there's no pigeon shit, there's no pigeons, and there's no garbage on the street. It's unbelievable. And that's the truth. Look it up. I'm not even bullshitting.
Holy shit. Yeah. Vultures?
Yeah. Vultures are some shit. Either vultures or Puerto Ricans. It was either vultures or some Puerto Ricans to like get all the pigeons to start a pigeon coop and do some pigeon flying the way we used to do back in the 70s. But I'm almost positive it's vultures. You know what I mean? You know how they, and then all the homing pigeons come back? You know, the Puerto Ricans. Did you guys do that back
in the 70s?
Up in the roof, you had like cages of pigeon coops. Yeah. So that's an interesting fact. And you know what? Seriously, I could be off when I'm saying vultures, but he did get some sort of like predatory.
It could be Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Yeah.
Vultures and Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Yeah.
One of the two. Because I was at the museum and I seen him.
Yeah.
We were smoking a little PCP.
Yeah.
When I was looking up at
behind
the sky.
Behind the dinosaur exhibit. Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
It could be. Vultures or maybe it was not.
Or maybe it was pterodactyls. You know, I don't know.
Pterodactyls.
No, but seriously, it was some predatory bird. I'm just saying vulture because that's the first thing that could come to my mind when I said it, okay? So, I mean, listen, who gives a fuck if it was vultures?
Could have been Voltron. Right. Five robotic lions that assemble into one intergalactic crime-fighting force.
Okay.
Or vultures.
Okay, listen. Listen to me. All right, listen. The point was not...
Could be Robotech.
The predator. The point was that the mayor used a predator to get rid of the fucking pigeons. That's the shit right there. And you got to give it to that dude, man. Because I was like, where the fuck are the pigeons?
City council calls to order the mayor. The mayor has something we'd like to say. Thank you, city council. I propose that we get a flock of vultures to fly, or pterodactyls, or Voltron, or Robotech.
I got vultures. I got vultures. Three for a dollar. I got dollar, dollar. I got vultures. Three for a dollar.
No bid contracts.
Yeah, we can do a fucking live improv set right here. Oh, my God.
That's the craziest shit I've ever heard. The mayor gets vultures.
No, watch. I'm going to look it up because now you're fucking with me.
There's no way that the mayor of Chicago is like, let's unleash.
I'm going to watch.
Thousands of vultures.
Well, no, vultures, huh? Chicago.
Over the city to pigeon. Deal with the pigeon problem.
Watch.
If there's vultures, I'm giving you $20 on the fucking air right now.
Watch. I'm going to tell you what happened here. Okay, it says Chicago pigeons deported to Indiana. That's definitely not the story I'm looking for. From billions to zero, story of pigeon extinction. Watch. I'm going to tell you what he got. He definitely got vultures. That's what he got. I'm telling you right now.
Real vultures.
I'm not even fucking with you, man.
Robotic vultures with cameras.
He got fucking...
Programmed by the guys that fly drunk in Las Vegas.
He got fucking vultures.
Mayor Daley and the vultures.
I did that in reaction to all the people, including some aldermen who are going off on the birds, doing their best to get rid of them. What the fuck did he get the pigeons actually rocked dove? He's saying that what we are commonly referred to in Chicago as a pigeon is actually a rock dove. Okay. And the pigeons...
I'm pretty sure if it was vultures and you put vulture Chicago, that shit would have come up.
No, I didn't put vulture Chicago. I put Chicago pigeon evaporation. You know what? You know what? Check this out. When I do the show summary, when I do the show summary submission,
rock pigeon evisceration.
When I do the show summary submission, I'm going to hold on a second.
No way. It's not going to be there.
Bullshit, dude. Watch this. It's going to be there, man. It's going to be there. I'm not even bullshitting to you, man. Vultures. It's going to be there. Big up the vultures, man. Big up all the vultures coming down south, man. To eat all the pigeon. Big the fuck up Kentucky Fried Pigeon. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm going to put watch. Pigeon Vulture Chicago. You think I'm bullshitting, man? Let me see. Pigeon Vulture.
Oh, my God.
How do you spell vulture? Kidding.
I found the article.
You did?
It's really?
Yeah, it's real. The Killer Hawk of Chicago.
Oh, hawks. Hawks.
The story of the Killer Hawk of Chicago is a classic tale of early 20th century American journalism.
Thank you. That's it. It was a hawk. See, Puerto Ricans don't know the difference between vultures and hawks. To me, if the fucking bird has a wingspan of fucking 9 feet or more, it's a vulture. I don't give a fuck. It's the same shit.
The thing is, though, this is on a site called hoaxes.org.
Uh-oh.
Okay. No, but Uh-oh. but whatever, man. Just you shouldn't have said that other part. Okay. What I'm trying to tell you is that listen, you can call that shit whatever the fuck you want to call it.
By the way, Nestor's word for truth is hoax.
No, it's not a hoax. I mean, you guys are calling the pigeon in Chicago what kind of dove? Some dove. It's bullshit. See what I'm talking about? They call it a dove, some sort of a dove, because it's a pigeon. It's a fucking pigeon.
Yeah.
Right? So to me,
a rock dove.
So to me, you know, a vulture, a hawk, who gives a fuck? What's the difference? You know what I mean? They evacuated and evaporated all the pigeons. That's the point. Okay?
But you did say vulture.
I know what I said. It's in the fucking recording. I'd have to edit it. Exactly. Listen, you're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show, where occasionally we make shit up. Okay? That's how it is.
In Chicago.
Hold on a second.
Mayor Daley has decided to get real.
Peace, this is Common. And right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
Did you hear that?
What?
Hold on a second. I gotta do that again.
Peace, this is Common, and right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
That's right, motherfucker. Common's from Chicago, too.
Not a lot of people know that Common.
Come on, that was dope.
Raised vultures.
Common, the vultures that I was referring to actually came from a region. I don't know the neighborhood. Is it Rucker Park? Is that a neighborhood up in Chicago where Common is from? So the while Puerto Ricans were raising pigeons, like to fly pigeons with their coops, Common, like the black guys, they were raising vultures, baby vultures.
Baby vultures.
Yeah. And eventually they sold them to the mayor, and that's what happened. You know what I mean? But getting back to the seriousness of the show, coming back and pulling it right back, we're going to pull this shit right back. We're going to pull that shit right back, okay?
Break it down.
All right, we're going to break it down. So basically, you were talking about getting your hand caught in the cookie jar before when we were talking about talking shit.
Yeah.
And, it reminded me of this place that I went to in Chicago, Glenda's Cookies. You know Glenda's Cookies?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. So Glenda's Cookies, I don't know if you know the one, if we're talking about the same place. This place, they make organic, like, gluten-free and all sorts of fucking cookies. But their shit is that each cookie has a fucking message thing inside of it, which is like ridiculous. Like, who the fuck wants to eat a cookie and have some shit, like, you know, in there? But of course, my wife wants to go get a fucking Glenda's cookie, and
yeah,
she wants to make a big fucking deal for a $6 cookie. You know what I mean? Get the fuck out of here. If I'm going to get a $6 cookie, my second follow-up question to that is, does it come with a fucking free gift certificate to fucking ballsuave.com. I mean, does it come with a gift certificate? Does it come with a gift certificate to, you know, strokemyscrotum.com? You know what I mean?
Or does it come with chop suey like most cookies that have fortunes in them?
Right, exactly.
like that cookie's a big mystery with a note in it.
Exactly.
That's been around for about 1,000 fucking
years. You see, I should have done the pigeon. I should have done that as a hype. Because you were in there. You were in there.
I thought for sure.
But it's the truth, though. I mean, they used the hawks. I mean, Jeremy should.
Further in the story, it says the irony of the story, according to this person, is the pigeon killing hawk was probably real.
And it was
the suspicions
real.
Of the journal's rivals was unfounded. There was no hoax. So it looks like it was real.
It was real. No, it was real.
Well, when they person shot a vulture out of the sky, they cut the vulture in half and realized that it was a chicken hawk.
No,
wearing a vulture costume, killing pigeons.
A chicken.
Better known
a chicken,
as chicken, rock doves.
A chicken hawk. That's funny.
So you got the cookie.
That's it. So I got a fucking cookie, and you know, nowadays you can't just get a regular fucking cookie.
No,
right?
Everything's over $5.
Cupcakes, no, it's not just that. Everything. Cookies. I can't get a fucking chocolate chip cookie. It's got to be fucking, you know, salted caramel, sea fucking salt, you know, organically massaged cotton candy flakes. I was like, get the fuck out of here, man. Just give me a regular cookie, charge me $1, and let me get the fuck on my way.
Yeah.
You know
cookies
what I mean?
For a dollar. Let's be sane
three
about
cookies
this.
For a dollar. You know?
87-cent little carton of ice cold milk. Remember them little ones that you could crack open?
Welfare cartons, man. I know what's up. I know what's up. This is fucking welfare cartons. A little fucking, they were like a quarter of 20, 50 cents or whatever. Yeah. For those of you guys that don't know, Google government cheese, Google quarter pints of milk.
It's on the government vulture page. Just click government vultures.
Vultures.gov. Google, what you need to do, seriously, all jokes aside, is Google government cheese, Google WIC checks, Google welfare juices. Okay? And while you're on it, Google glassine heroin bag art. Because, you know, that's the thing now. Okay?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Glassine heroin bag art. All right? You know that
it's art now.
Oh no, it's art. It's art. Well, you know, when they sell heroin, the way to know that it's my heroin versus your heroin is that the heroin you have has a little logo on the glassine bag, right? Mm-hmm. So, like when I was growing up back in the 80s, you were able to get like Crazy Eddie. You remember Crazy Eddie? His prices are insane.
Yeah.
Right? So they would have a little stamp of the Crazy Eddie logo. They would have like, you know, the Wizard, and they may have like a Mickey Mouse stamp. So, like, yo, what's good? What's good? Yo, Mick got the Wizard. So you go over there. And so the point of that is that, like, fast forward years later, the heroin epidemic has come back again in America, and different glassine bags have different logos and different art and, you know, whatever, little bomb. And people are collecting them now. And they're making, like, collages out of them and making art.
Holy shit.
Yeah. fucking Mick. Mick is, like, dumbfounded at every fucking thing I say. One dude is actually collecting a bunch of these. You can Google this. And he's making a fucking 12-foot fucking vulture out of, like, glassine heroin art. Bags, but that's true. Google glassine heroin art. Shit is unbelievable. Well, let's get back to the show. Let's get back to the real part of the show. Dude, I fucking love you. You're a trooper, man. You're a fucking trooper. You know, I'm gonna take a moment. I want to give a big up. No, serious big up. Big up. Fans, man. You got a lot of fans. You got a lot of dedicated, committed fans.
They're great, man.
They are great.
They're great.
They are great. I love them.
There was a guy that just came by named Neil McKinley. Shout out to his company, Caleb and Taylor. But he flew to L.A. and he makes skateboards out of whiskey barrels.
Oh, nice.
He's a woodworker.
Okay.
Stops by the spot. I go, dude, you came all the way from Scotland. I'm going to interview you on the podcast.
Really?
Comes, brings me two beautiful skateboards.
Really?
My daughter rides one.
Really?
Yeah, incredible. I've had guys send me stuff from all over the world, New Zealand.
No, I know.
It's incredible. Yeah, you've been to the office.
Dude. So why don't we focus on the podcast? Because that really what I wanted to do is, so how did you get your podcast, to get to the 250th top podcast on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
And you have a bevy of reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
And so when I was there, I had asked you, but what was your business plan as a podcast producer and host?
I was going to try to get interesting people first and foremost. I wanted the conversations to be about how they hustled and how they went after what they wanted. And if the conversation started to take a different, you know, what we were really talking about was, like you said, the core of manhood, or what is it, you know, what was a woman's idea of womanhood when she was in her teens and early 20s, 13, as opposed 14. To being in her mid 30s. Like,
right.
You know, if I felt like it was going that way, I wanted to organically let it go.
Let it go that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the quality of the content I wanted to be adamant about and really, really ask tough questions in a fair way.
Mm-hmm.
And really stuff that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I my own life, similar to yours, I had to find role models. A lot of times I found the wrong ones and mm-hmm. I paid the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always interested in, you know, what informs your, the podcast was originally going to be called the Rule Book Podcast. What are the rules you live your life by?
The Rule Book.
Yeah, like podcast. That. Yeah. So I may do that. I'm going to probably do 200 episodes of this show and then do the Rule Book one after that.
Just fucking keep it simple leave it at the Mick Betancourt show. You got something that's hot. Don't fucking start with this 200 episodes. I'm going to jump over here, which by the way, you would do 200 episodes, lock that shit up, start the Rule Book and fucking get 500. Like that's how you roll.
But I always want to just commit myself to stuff. One, that I believe in. Two, that's going to be challenging. And you said what the business plan was. I was going to invest $3,000 in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have something more than word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking mm-hmm. at Twitter ads, Facebook ads, mm-hmm. and I thought my return on investment isn't going to be, it's very mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw money out and mm-hmm. hope that this social media service is going to find listeners.
Right.
So I said, no. What if I invest in the people that are actually listening to the show?
Right.
Which at the time was like 50.
Mm-hmm.
But those were 50 people that were taking time out of their day and they loved the show.
Sure.
So I said, hey, if you're listening, I took $3,000 and I bought the best quality t-shirts that I could find.
Like
the highest quality fiber. I had a fan design the logo for the show.
Right.
And I spent $2,000 on shirts.
Right.
And then I saved $1,000 for shipping. And if you left a 5-star written review on iTunes,
right,
I would ship a shirt to you no matter where you were in the world.
Right. Love that.
And that's how I got a lot of reviews, but that's how I got a lot of...
Hold on a second. That was a mistake. I started doing that also, except I started offering condoms. So I was like, if you give me a 5-star review on iTunes and you take a screen grab of it, which you didn't mention, but I believe me, I got your spiel. When I went on your podcast and I was like, wow, that's ingenious. And I'm serious. That is very ingenious because that is a unique, smart, and organic way of growing your listeners.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, so they give you a good review, but they're also promoting your stuff. And if your podcast is good, I mean, I know there's going to be, you know, the 10% of people who want a free fucking shirt just to have a free shirt. But if your podcast is good, people are going to like it. And there's elements of your podcast. Your podcast is easy listening. It's easy listening, you know. Hopefully, if you're listening to my podcast, you know, it's the same way. I mean, we're just flowing and going wherever the fuck you want. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining. It's interesting. Vultures are listening to the fucking thing right now.
We're crushing the Vulture demo.
Dude, Jeremy, you have the Matrix on Vulture.com, right? How many listeners do we have?
Everybody within the Vulture community is listening intently right now.
Okay, got it. That's it. That's
Vulture
it.
Boards.
Yeah, Vulture boards.
On the dark net, right? We just melted the dark net.
Dude. The Vultures are fucking going berserk right now. This is no fucking
flying
bullshit.
Over Chicago, eat the pigeons.
This is big up fucking vultures.
Hey, you know what's going to help with tourism, guys? What if we just had 1,000 vultures flying over the city, slaughtering pigeons? Soaking the tourists in pigeon blood. Is that good for anybody?
Gerald G. Esquire and his son Tommy go across the street to get a pretzel from the Chicago street vendor. When along comes this humongous vulture, snatches the pretzel out of little Tommy's hands, and all hell breaks loose.
And then Tommy.
Mommy! Could you imagine that shit? So back to Chicago, and then we'll go back to the Mick Betancourt, because I forgot to say that. So there are no pigeons, but one of the things I notice is that there are no handguns allowed signs every fucking way in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, you can't enter this building if you have a handgun. What the fuck is that? That means everybody has a handgun?
It's a pretty violent city.
But wait. I mean, what I'm saying... I don't know that it's violent, but I'm saying
it's fucking violent.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's violent.
So I went to go to the museum and I saw like five, you know, like the no smoking sign, the circle with the slash going through it, except you could smoke there, but you can't bring in your gun.
Yeah.
There was a fucking do not gun.
Well, it's foolish because, I mean, anybody that has a gun or is a criminal is not going to go, oh, they got the sign there. So,
right, because there's no metal detector.
It's not, you know.
I just thought that was bizarre. And the valets. The valets take credit cards. Like, I've never seen that before.
So I'm valeting. I mean, when I got booted out of college, the first gig I got was valeting. I valeted at the Civic Opera House and some nightclub. So I'm at this nightclub called Excalibur. And, you know, at night you pull all the cars up front so you don't have to be running back and forth to the lot.
The nightclub is where? Inside of an opera house?
No, that's just one of the spots that I valeted at.
Okay.
Anyway, you pull these cars up front, and then when people come out, you just hand them the keys so you're not running back and forth at 4 a.m.
Right.
To the lot, which was like 2 blocks away.
Right.
This had not happened to me, but a guy that I was working with that night brought a new Corvette up. And some guy walks out, the guy throws him the keys to the vet, and the guy leaves. The guy didn't own the vet.
Right.
He was just standing in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the valet guy handed him the keys, thinking it was the car, big mistake, guy leaves.
Sure.
Guy, you know, they call it in. The guy who owns the car comes out. He's like, where the fuck is my
car?
Vet? Huge thing, cops chasing the guy. You know, the guy was drunk in the nightclub. Who didn't wind up taking the vet?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think shit of it, right?
Right.
4 years later, I'm at a bar called the Oasis in Rogers Park on Sheridan Road.
Okay. Guys, for those that fucking know Chicago.
Yeah, they listen to Chicago. Yeah. 4 a.m. joint. I think, you know, Saturday, the 4 a.m. joints are open to 5 a.m. I'm sitting there, so it's probably about 4:30, just before last call. This fucking guy sits down, just disheveled, right?
This
is like the bar in Star Wars. The Oasis.
The Cantina Band. Dude, don't fuck with me in Star Wars. Just say anything about Star Wars and I'll fucking come out with some shit, dude. Don't fucking hold me back.
So this fucking guy sits down right in the cantina.
Yeah.
And he turns to me and he goes, I just fucking got out of the can. And I go, what happened, man?
What were you in for?
He goes, yeah. I go, what happened? And he goes, let me ask you this. Someone hands you the fucking keys to a brand new Corvette and my stomach drops. And I go, oh, shit, dude.
You're the dick?
I go, where the fuck did that happen? What are the odds that the fucking guy the night I was working sits next to me the night he gets out of jail?
It was meant to be.
So he goes, what would you do if you're in front of a new, you're fucked up, you're an Excalibur, and a guy can't, you stand in front of a brand new Corvette and goes, is this your car? And he's holding the fucking keys on. I go, dude, I don't know what to tell you, man, but I'm buying you a fucking drink.
That's right. That's right. I mean, my thing is cars are expensive nowadays. I mean, in L.A., Motherfuckers, how much are those Teslas? They're like $200,000, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
At least 100.
Yeah. Motherfuckers got Teslas here, Maseratis, BMWs, Mercedes Benz. I mean, fucking people here got cars. My thing is, if you want a car, you know, first of all, if you can't afford dental insurance, you should not be looking at one of those types of cars.
There was a guy, I lived in one of those huge buildings when I first moved to LA. It was like a one bedroom, one bath, $900, all utilities included.
Right.
I thought we hit the lottery
right.
when we moved
right.
in there, but there was like 300 units right
sure.
along the 405,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Guy had a fucking tricked out Hummer, jacked
yeah.
like 24 inch rims.
Yeah.
Right, dude, we're all, there's not like a penthouse that no one knows
no,
about. Like
no.
this is,
no.
you spent like 100 no. grand on your fucking car.
Yeah.
You live in one bedroom.
No, he leased it and the government's giving him a tax rebate. Look that shit up on the Hummer. That was a while back. They were giving you fucking tax rebates for Hummers.
Oh my
you remember
God.
In America, there was a time when every fucking moron had a Hummer. Look that shit up. That was sponsored by Vulture.com, for real. But seriously, you could look that up. And the Hummer tax, the federal Hummer tax rebate, that's for shizzle.
That's actually real.
That's for shizzle. But what I'm trying to say is if you want a car in L.A., it's very easy. If you want one of those cars, all you need is one of those, like, speaker podiums like that you can get at a fucking church sale that they have, you know, and a red vest. And you just stand on any fucking corner
Someone's
near a restaurant.
Yeah.
Someone will pull over, give you the fucking keys.
Oh yeah, man.
And you know, you can start a legitimate business, but if that one car that you've always wanted drives up to you, that might be your lucky day.
That's it, man.
You know
I
what
watched
I'm saying?
It happen. I watched
it could happen.
I watched a fucking guy get
happen.
A vet and drive off.
It could happen. So go back to the Mick Betancourt show.
Okay.
So, I've listened to a few of your shows, and so what are the questions that you ask? What because I'm assuming you have the same questions that you think you're going to ask the guys. Yes.
No, I mean the spine of the show is. If there's any format, it's this, and I never really ask these questions this directly. It's when did you discover what you were passionate about? What actions did you take to go after it? When did you encounter any obstacles, fears, anxiety, mm-hmm. or adversity? What actions did you take to get over that? Mm-hmm. What did success smell, taste, feel like?
To you.
And what does fear and failure feel like as well?
Yeah.
And how do you react to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you asked me those questions.
Yeah.
And you asked me the question about like what was it like to hustle for something, one of the things that you wanted, and I told you a Krispy Kreme donut story, right? Which, like, I really
you
wanted...
You brought the donut back?
I wanted a donut one night. This is the hustle I got, okay? Because Mick's show is about the hustle. Like, you do or die Bed-Stuy. And, you know, I wanted a fucking donut. And it was a Krispy Kreme donut. I wanted a fucking jelly-filled Krispy Kreme donut. Two of them. My wife wanted fucking jelly donut. I wanted a chocolate one. Yeah, I buy it. I put it in a bag. I go home. When I go home, it's not the fucking donut I wanted. Right?
Yeah.
He gave me some other shit. So my wife has her fucking donuts, but I don't have the donut I want. And I don't want that donut, the one that they gave me, right? Whatever the fuck it was. So I said, all right, that's fine. I'll bring it tomorrow, bring it back to them. And they'll give me the donut I wanted. I mean, it's an honest request. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm stealing it, right? So I go there, and there's this young guy. He had to be like 16 years old on fucking like high school work release fucking program. Motherfucker's going to jail at some point, but this is his attempt at life. So I go up to him at doing something positive for his life. I go up there, and I go, listen, man, I bought these donuts yesterday, and, you know, I ordered this donut, and this is not what you guys gave me. He looks at me like I was asking him to give me, you know, a free.
Like there were vultures in the sky.
Right. If he can grab one of them for me and put it in a bag. That's how he's looking at me. And so basically he says, no, like, I can't do that. Can't do nothing about it. I'm like, yeah, you can. There's a fucking donut right behind you. You grab a donut, you put it in a fucking bag, right? And you give it to me. You take this one and you shove it up your ass, right? It's very simple.
Yeah.
Right? So he's telling me, no, you can't do it. I said, let me speak to the manager. The manager's not here. I said, you know what? I took the donut. I fucking threw it at him. That's my hustle. You know what I mean? I fucking whacked
fucking
him.
Guy.
I whacked him in the head with the fucking donut.
What did he do?
Nothing. I said, fuck you. Here's your donut. Pah! And I just walked out. That's it. You know what I mean?
But didn't you take a bite out of the donut?
No. No, I didn't take a bite. That's the thing. I didn't take a bite. It's not the donut I wanted. I didn't eat a donut.
You tried to bring back a stale donut.
one day old. What's the fucking difference? It doesn't matter. Even if it was quality control, he could have looked at it, told his boss, look, this donut was returned. There's always, you know, when you're in retail, there's always defective items that get returned, you know? How many times do you go to Walmart or whatever? This is you go to Gelson's here, the supermarket. It doesn't
You know, I've never been in Gelson's once.
Dude, it doesn't matter. I've purchased some coffee there. I don't like the coffee. After I ground it, and it's whack. And I bring it back. It's a $12 fucking bag of coffee. I'm like, this shit tastes nasty. They're like, okay, he'll write me off a fucking receipt and with a credit, and I go to the fucking cashier and they give me the money back. It's that simple. Because you know why? He'll take the coffee and he'll give it back to the distributor who stocks up his shelves with that coffee, and it's a fucking loss. You're not fucking around with a customer.
I think that he was shocked that someone would keep 40-cent donut for 24 hours and then bring it back the next day.
No, I don't think that's what it was. I think that, you know,
he was stunned.
No, I think that what it was is this, is that there's a lot of people out there that honestly want to work and they have a job, but there are very few people who have business skills, people skills. It's a very simple thing, right? Yeah. And you never say no to a customer. You fucking just don't. Okay, you find a way to appease the customer, however you can do it. That's it. That's business. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's fucking business. I mean, I don't know how else
to put
it. I
got to tell you, though, I think that business model with where we're going, if we're going to talk business, is going to go. And I'll tell you why.
Go what? Like disappear?
The because there is something ingenuine about that, of just doing whatever it takes to make somebody happy. It fucks with the quality of your product. It fucks with the integrity of your business.
Right.
Kyle Kinane is a comedian who I watched come up and I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Mm-hmm. And he'll, in his opener, he does a joke that's very controversial. Mm-hmm. It always changes. He's always writing new stuff. Mm-hmm. And it lets the crowd know right away. But now people are coming to see him, so it's less. But the point is this, and he says this, I'm looking for loyalty, not for numbers.
Right.
That's what he says.
No, right. I get it.
So, like, to him, it's like, you like what I do. Come on. If you don't, I got no time for you.
No, but that's my point. That's my point. Yeah. So here's the deal. I'm sorry you didn't like it. Here's your money back. Don't ever come back to my store. You could do that too.
Because
I'm not interested in you.
Yeah.
I'm interested in motherfuckers that want my stale jelly donuts. And if you don't like them, you don't like the way they taste, go to Chicago and have a vulture bite your fucking ass.
Eat your dick, right?
All right? Listen, that's the time we kind of like fucking smoked out a whole fucking show. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Tell the listeners again where you're going to be this weekend.
All right, so if you're in Chicago, Chicago, please come out, because I haven't been home in 2 years and I don't know when I'm coming back. So Wednesday, December 23rd.
2015.
2015, I'm going to be at Timothy O'Toole's. The day after Christmas, December 26th, I am at the WIP Theater in Edison Park. And January 23rd, I'm at Radford Hall in Van Nuys. February 6th, Seattle. Come out. First time I've ever played Seattle. I'm playing this
Seattle's nice.
Cool punk rock club called the Highline, right in Seattle.
And Seattle's
you can,
nice.
You can go to the Highline. Just put in the Highline Seattle.
Google
and you can
get, HighlineVultures.com.
And I'm going with Ryan Sickler.
But hold on. Where is this in Seattle?
The Highline.
It's called the Highline. Yeah. And what date is that?
February 6th.
I may go up there. Just to
fuck it. It's going to be so much fun. It's like a 120-seat spot. Great club.
I may go up there. All right. Well, listen, the Mick Betancourt
show.
That's his podcast. You can catch that on iTunes.
Follow me on Twitter @ Mick Betancourt. And thanks, man, for having me on your show again. So much fun.
And MickBetancourt.com.
Yeah. You can stream every episode of the podcast. We've had Smugglers, Academy Award winners, Hitmen, guys on Death Row.
Your website is set up really nice.
I got old school boombox on there. And you can stream all the shows.
Well, the way you have it that you can just go up there and stream everyone. I kind of like it.
Thanks.
So, go to weplayradio.com. Yes. Like us on Facebook, We Play Radio. And we're on Twitter. What's the Twitter handle? Is it @ We Play Radio?
Yep.
@ We Play Radio. There you go. Make sure that you check out my Nestorius Public Radio Facebook page, which is Nestorius Public Radio, Facebook.com, Nestorius Public Radio. Follow me on Twitter, Nestorius NYC. And go to iTunes, all right? And if you leave a 5-star or better review,
or better
on my Nestorius Public Radio podcast, I will personally sign a 12-pack of Lifestyles condoms for you, and I will send them to you. I don't give a fuck where you live, okay? I will make sure that that happens, all right? Thank you so much. God bless. This is the last show of the year.
Oh, wow.
It's December 17th, Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I am going to put up a mixtape episode because I haven't done one of those in a while for all my house heads. And that's it, man. Big up.
Encourage me the whole way long. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta...